kingdom greetings. You know, I know it's like, it's almost like 5 years. I mean, it's been 5 years, but sometimes when I say kingdom greetings, you guys don't know what to say. But when I say kingdom greetings, you say kingdom greetings. You know, it's another way to say, hey, the Jesus in me, greet the Jesus in you. You know, in other words, I could say, peace be unto you. You know, and I know, you know, we're not Catholic, all right? But I know this is something they do in Catholic Church when the priest says, you know, peace unto you. Well, it's not about the priest. We're talking about Jesus, the Prince of Peace. You know, so if I say, hey, peace be unto you, and come on, throw some peace back at me. You know, but kingdom greetings. It's just like, I greet you in the name of Jesus. I don't have to wait until I'm not, you know, or maybe I'm on a mission field to or write an email. Personally, I can say, hey, I greet you in the name of Jesus. I thank the Holy Spirit for giving us the opportunity last week to be able to go away with my family to celebrate our 25th wedding anniversary. It was, thank you guys. I thank God that I told Kendra we renewed our vows, and Ryan was the preacher. He did pretty good. But you know, I was thinking about what should I say, you know, 25 years. But the one thing for me was when I got married, I didn't really know what love was. Because when I got married to be happy. I got married so she could make me happy. I didn't know that was my intention until I was in the marriage. I'm realizing, well, lady, you're not making me happy. And then the Lord kind of rebuked me. He's like, man, if you married to tick, you remember two ticks in a marriage? They'll suck the life out of each other. You know? So God gave me a revelation. And 7 years down the road, 7 years later, I renewed my vows and I to her. And I, since then, I've been loving her, you know, up and down, but I'm on the good path. But renewing our vows last week, it was just like, now I know how to love her. How do I love her? How do I know that? Ephesians says that. He says, husband loves your wife as Christ loves the church. So, you know, it used to be back in the days, sometimes I'd go to Jesus. I'm like, Jesus, come on, man. How come you put this big burden on me as the husband? Why couldn't you tell her to love me like Christ loves the church? But no, Jesus said, wife, submit, respect, but you, husband, you better love your wife, not be harsh with them. So I was very, it was very, very good for me again to renew my vows, you know, like I think the plank used to say every year was like, do you want to do it again? I get that, you know, it's like, Kendra, you want to do it again? Let's go. So, it was a really good time with my children. This year, again, I realized taking a sabbatical is healthy for a preacher. And for 5 years, I never had a sabbatical. You know, now when I go to Pennsylvania, I'm not on vacation, okay, guys? When I go to Florida, I'm not on vacation. It's all ministry. You know, if I go to Ohio, those places I go. Even if I go to Haiti, I'm not, unless I'm very intentional, it's not vacation. But this past time, I was very intentional because I feel like the Lord is drawing my heart towards Him. So 5 years here, I'm in the position where I'm like, okay, Lord, I really need to hear from you. You know, God speaks, but sometimes we don't hear what He's saying because we have so many other voices speaking. Okay, whether that makes sense to you or not, but that's for me, that's a revelation. I mean, you'd be surprised, me being in the Word all the time, being constantly intentional about seeking His face, but yet sometimes you must find yourself in this position where God is be like, He's like, I want you to come to the mountain, up to the mountain. You know, I wrote this on our Facebook the other day because I've been thinking about it. Have you ever asked yourself, what did Moses do for 40 nights and 40 days in the presence of the Lord? What did he do? And Jesus, of course, Jesus had a busy life because Jesus was a very busy minister. Jesus was also a carpenter. You know, most of us, we don't know, even church history, they don't tell us what Jesus did from the time he was 12 to the time he was 30. We don't know. He lived a secret life. But from the moment Jesus was 30 to 33, we know he was extremely busy. But one thing he prioritized, he made it a priority to be in the presence of God. You know, so I'm very thankful for this past 2 weeks. I'm thankful to Jesus, and also I'm thankful for Felix and Betty, because Felix stepped in. He was being stretched, you know. Every time I come here or somebody stand up here, you know, this is, I don't take this lightly, because God's going to judge me. God will judge me. So every time, even going away, 4 months, 3 months, I'm thinking, who's going to be bringing God's word? I have to be wise. I literally have to counsel with God, you know, talk to my wife, you know, some of you in the past. Actually, you know what? Angie, you haven't preached this year. You know, Angie's a very good one. And I was thinking the other day, this 2024, I haven't had Angie bring away. But you know, when this is not your everyday calling, Felix, I met with Felix this week. Felix says, man, you do this every week? You know, because if I would ask you to bring a sermon, I give you 3 months ahead. Yeah, you will do it, but man, you'll feel like heaven is on your shoulders. Because this is not something anybody can take lightly. So I think, go ahead. Are you fixing something for me? Oh. Oh, right now. Okay. That's good. Well, let's pray. Let's pray for Jonathan. He just texted Kendra. You know, she's been having complication. And she's been pushing all night. Yeah, it's not good. So right now they're getting ready to do an emergency C-section. All right. Would we pray? Would we pray? Who wants to pray? You know, I can pray this, but I also want to give somebody an opportunity to. Who wants to lead this prayer? We're going to pray for Jonathan and Kellosh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, we come before you right now. We bring Kellosh and Jonathan before your throne right now. They need an intervention. You are the excellent doctor. You are the doctor. You are the mighty doctor. You do everything so well, Lord. We thank you for this baby. For 5 years, they've been trying to get pregnant. She had a miscarriage. And this baby, Lord, we call Nathan. We protect Nathan, Lord God. We thank you for the doctors. We thank you for the operating room, Holy Spirit. Right now, God, we apply the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. We thank you for favor for Kellosh. We thank you for favor for Jonathan, Lord God. We thank you for victory, Lord. I pray for against anxiety. I pray against fear, Lord. In the name of Jesus right now, I speak peace into that situation. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we also enter your peace. We come against all kinds of thoughts and mind that is not in line with you. We bring our mind and our actions, our thoughts in line with faith, knowing that you do reward those who call upon your name. So right now, we call upon the name of Yeshua. We call on the name of Jesus for Jonathan. We call on the name of Jesus for the St. Pierre family. Jesus, Lord God, we pray for them. We stand in the gap for them. We ask that you would sustain Jonathan, Lord. Maybe he's afraid, but we come against the spirit of being afraid. Anxiety, Lord God. We thank you for victory. We wait on you. And we thank you for being such a good father towards them. Thank you that we got this text right now and we stand for them. We stand with them. In the mighty name of Yeshua, I pray. God's people said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good. Oh, I'm so glad we got that text. That's good. Thank you. Amen. So I was saying, what was I saying? I am very thankful for Felix who stepped forward, but I'm also very thankful for my brother Din, because put your hands together for Din for me. I appreciate you. Because he stepped forward and took on the responsibility for leading you guys in the presence of the Lord, and he did amazing. You know, this is, Kendra said it. I think I tweeted it or something like that. She first thing she told me this morning, she's like, you know, it's good to come together because iron do sharpen iron when we come together. We do encourage each other. But when we meet with Jesus, we changed. Okay? So that's why here we promote meeting with Jesus. So when you come together, every time you think about coming to church, so-called, come together, please, Jesus you're coming together with. He's the guy. He's the guy we're after. He's the guy I am after. You know? So I'm also very thankful for everyone that shared last week, last month, the last 2 weeks. I listened to it. It's amazing. You know, some of you, next year, you will be sharing, you know, because God is doing work in your heart, you know, and everything that they shared just pinpoint to one of the key thing. We are a family. The church is not just a place you go to for a service, but it's a place you belong. It's a community you belong. And I thank God for people like all of you, you know, who shared last week. All of you guys who shared in the past month, you know, because it's like you guys have been faithful through. See, you've said yes to the call. It's a lot easier when things don't work or when you don't like something, you just leave. You know, but I was thinking this week back, maybe 25 years. I mean, I've only been in ministry for 20 years, but 14 out of those 20 years in lead position. But I'd say even 10 years ago, church, I'd say church used, how could I say that? It's not like church was easier, but there's a generation that used to understand authority. And there used to be like a more reverence for God. Okay? Jesus, okay? So therefore, people used to follow better. Now, unfortunately, there's a lot of church leaders, they abuse their authority. But I also acknowledge there are a lot of godly kingdom leaders, you know, and all the glory to Jesus. Kendra, we want to be one of those. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to do like Jesus. You know, Jesus was simple and humble. I want to be humble. I will remain humble, you know? So it's amazing to hear that we here, we've been a family. And through it all, everyone that shared last month, they remain faithful to the covenant. Because what happened when people don't understand covenant? When things don't work, we break it. Now, unless somebody's physically, emotionally abusing somebody else, you shouldn't be in any relationship where there is abuse. But if there is misunderstanding, you know, whatever else that could break the relationship, as long as both parties are willing, you can fix it. Oh, yeah. Especially if you're applying the principle of the gospel, which is the reset button, forgiveness. With forgiveness, you can restore relationships. Of course, it might take time to trust the person again because trust is earned. Okay? And I've told you stories how many years I have broken my trust with Kendra in my relationship. She couldn't trust me. But when I realized what was happening, I'm like, you know what? This woman, no matter what it takes, I'm going to have to regain her trust. And sometimes, Years later, she would bring things up. I'm like, well, baby, I thought you forgive me. She's like, yeah, I forgive you, but this triggers this, this triggers that. I'm like, all right, yeah, you know what? It's all right. But now looking back, the better years are more than the worst years. So we have more better things to talk about than the bad years. Because God is a God of restoration and restitution. And when He restores something, He makes it brand new. Oh, it's a brand new engine, you know? So I say all this to say I'm just very thankful and I'm humbled, because moving forward, I don't want us to be a good church, just a good church. I want us to be a radical church. Radical in faith. Radical in love. Radical in submission. Radical in the way we love each other. You know? I want to promise to be in the Word. There is one word. It's funny. I'm gonna say I didn't say it to Dave, but a couple weeks ago I was talking to Dave, and then Dave texts me. He says, "Yeah, my wife said for me to give you this verse." I don't know. Maybe they don't remember. It was Acts chapter 6. So Acts chapter 6, when the disciples were, you know, the church was, there's a lot of things going on with the church. And then Peter called everybody in the church. Peter said, hey guys, listen, it's not good for us to leave prayer and studying the Word and go work in the kitchen. So therefore, you must choose among yourself. You remember that verse he sent me? Guys, the Lord took that verse, just enlightened that verse, and just brought my mind to that verse, something I already knew. But for my season, Jesus is saying, Ricardo, I want you to focus. You know, because sometimes I'm like a machete leader. For those of you who knows me, I'm a machete leader. I make waves. Oh, yeah. I do make waves. But sometimes I need Jesus to be like, you know what, dude, set your machetes out. I need you to in the secret place. And that's what the Lord is doing with me right now. The Lord's like, okay, without vision, people perish. And God is the God of every season. Every year is different. We had some people we had with us last year. They're not here. And we've got some new people coming in. It's like God's moving with the time. God is the same. He never changed. He remained the same, but every day is new. And every day He wants to reveal Himself at a new level. You know? So I'm very excited for the next season, and I'll ask you to do the same thing. So in the coming week, I'm taking a sabbatical, just myself, to go in the woods with my father-in-law, my spiritual father, to continue again to disconnect for the season. But next week, we've got the team. So I won't be here next Sunday, just for next Sunday. But you keep me in your prayer, and I have a purpose, different purpose for that trip. Okay? So remember this, when we come together, we must sharpen each other. But meeting with believers, refreshing us, Jesus is the focus. Amen? All right, so now I'm going to talk to you for about, I have some time, but let's open our Bibles in Psalm 91. Psalm 91. This is what I call the 911 verse in the whole Bible. You know, everybody in America knows to dial 911 if you have an emergency, right? Right? Can I have a better witness? And how many of us here love 911? Come on, can we say, God, thank you for 911? Bless those people who work at 911. Now, seriously, because there are other countries who does not have that opportunity. You know, it's like I remember sometimes Back in the days, there was somebody trying to, they used to call those guys Zengelendo, which means like a gangster. A gang would try to break into someone's house. And then in Haiti, they call 911. Okay, when they call 911, 911 got called the police station. The police station says, well, our vehicles don't have gas. So we out of gas. So that's like a worthless 911. It doesn't help them. It's like, I cannot send help because all the vehicles, they have flat tires. Never forget this, what I'm showing you right now. Maybe you knew it already. This is your 911 spiritually. Every season, this is a new revelation to me, okay? Every season in your life, every situation you find yourself, make this verse right here your favorite verse. 9. You see this? Let's not worry about the verse 16, but dude, 9:1:1, Psalm 9:1:1. But what does it say? He who dwells where? In the secret place, underline that in your Bible or in your phone, of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm going to repeat that again. Let's read it together. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress. Anybody looking for fortress? Anybody looking for refuge? Hallelujah. Come on. Let's read that again. Verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In what? Now, who do you trust? Who do you put your trust in? Who do you put? Let me try that again. Who do you put your trust in? I put my trust in God. I trust in Jesus. Don't put your trust in a man. We don't put our trust in any political parties. We don't put our trust in government. I don't put my trust in my wife. I don't put my trust in my bank account. I don't put my trust in my work. I don't know what other ground are you standing on. Remember, the word of God says all other ground is what? Saking sand. But I will say, come on, let's read that again. I will say to the Lord. And right now we are saying to who? To the Lord, what? He is my refuge and my strength and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Verse 3, surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. But now, let's go back to verse 1, because that's my focus a little bit. And I believe that one of the best kept secret of faith, of our faith, is what I call the intimacy we can have with the Lord. Intimacy. Into, you know, intimacy, when you study the word intimacy, the Greek explained it like this. Into me you see. It's like when the Lord looks at you, he sees it's like, that's why you cannot hide from Him. Man, it's like in me, deep down in me, you see. That's why I really don't care what you think about me when I'm praising the Lord. That's why I shout glory to Jesus. You know, moving forward, anybody like some of you who wants to be part of my intercessory team, I'm putting an intercessor group together. I already started. I have two members. It's me and Larry so far. We come here Sunday morning, 7 o'clock, 7:30. We pray here for an hour. You know, I know we all pray. But if you want to be part of that intercession team, where it's like you make it to intercede, you got to inconvenience yourself. You know, if you want to pray when it's convenient, you know what's going to happen? You never see result in your life. It's like when you, oh, it's, I'm gonna go to prayer meeting when I have time. Really? You never have time for prayer. Never. And I'm not just, it's not a prophecy I'm giving you. It's just the way it is. Because you never find time for the secret place. And I mentioned Exodus 34. You don't have to go there, but this is what it says. It says, Moses was there with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. He ate no bread and drank no water. And the question I asked earlier is this. What did you think Moses do with the Lord for 40 nights and 40 days? That's a good question. I don't think we're going to have time to go deep into it, but think about it for the rest of the day. What did Moses do with the Lord for 40 nights and 40 days? What would you do if God would ask you to come and hang out with me for 40 days? We're going to play cards. Okay. But there it is. What, you know, some of us cannot even survive 3 hours here. Okay, so he who dwells in the secret place. So let's say this is a secret place. You know, some of us, the moment it's like it start being 12, 15, you have butt anxiety. And then your anxiety from your butt gets in your head, and then it shoots to your belly and you start feeling you're hungry. Now I'm talking serious, right? Okay. He who dwells in the secret place, that person will abide. Meaning that person will, every move, he's under the shadow. He's under the protection. What, I'm gonna just use Moses, for example. And not even David, because David, he's the one that wrote this. And you guys know David, he was messed up. But yet the Lord said, I find in David a man after what? My own heart. But David, he was a cheater, a murderer. Help me out if you know some other things. He was a cheater, murderer. Man, that's pretty good. Adulterer? A liar? Deceiver? He was it all. But yet God said, I love David because David has a heart that's after my heart. That goes to tell you, God's not looking for perfection because he knows none of us can be perfect. Thank you. None of us can be. What would Moses do? What did he do for 40 nights and 40 days in the presence of God? And this is my prayer for our church moving forward in the next season. Also, this is my challenge. What would you do with the Lord for 24 hours? This year we didn't do it, but last year I would call for a 24-hour fast. You see, I'm not into program or doing things. Oh, let's just do this to do. Everything, every time I think about something, I'm like, Lord, is this what you want me to do? Because I don't want to be doing a bunch of things. I want to do exactly what the Lord wants me to do. That's even like preaching. I don't want to just preach to preach. You know, sometimes I go, I'm in my office, I walk in here, I do prayer work. I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to say? There was a time in the past 2 months, maybe 3 months, I was talking about repentance. I've heard it all. Do you know, I've heard somebody tell me, Pastor, you talk too much on repentance. To which I think that person should repent for even thinking about that. You're saying I talk too much on repentance? Please give me repentance. Lord, I even repent even for even thinking such thing. We all need repentance. I repent last week. You know what repentance is? It's changing your mind. Repentance is aligning your life with the Word of God. I do that every day. Every day when I'm in the secret place, the Holy Spirit is shining his light. And then he's like, Ricardo, that's not right. That thought's not good. A quick testimony. For those of you who goes to our cell group, I've been talking to you, even maybe I've said, I don't know if I said it here. In the past month and 2-3 months, I had chronic back pain, like I almost felt crippled. Back pain to the max. You know, I have been healed. You know how I got healed? Well, it could be. But you know how I got healed? I went in the secret place. I lay all my burdens down. Because sometimes we pray. We're praying. You're like, God, why don't you answer me? And then you get frustrated. And then the Lord's like, well, guess what? You're praying, but you're eating garbage. Your body is my temple. So therefore, you're defiling it by eating this, that. Now, I can't come here and tell you shouldn't eat pizza. I can't come here and tell you shouldn't be drinking. Or I can say you shouldn't get drunk. But if the Lord's telling me, Ricardo, this is junk. And that when you eat that, it's defiling your body. Ricardo, you're taking this on your shoulders. That's why people who understand me, people who knows me, you know, beside Jesus, you have a good pastor. Because I love people. I love you. Your pain, I carry it. It's like my children. I don't sleep. So therefore, there are certain situations I would carry. And you know, when you carry the heavy burden, you know where it goes? To the weakest part of your body. And then one of the weakest part of my body is my back. My spine. Guys, it's amazing. I'm like, I've been just like going in a secret place and the Lord's just opening up things in my life. And it's like, you carrying this, that's not for me. You carrying that, that's not for me. And I'm like, oh Lord, I repent. Once again, I repent. I say, Lord, I'm sorry. And okay. Well then, I said, Lord, give me your yoke because your yoke is light. Guys, my back pain, my chiropractor is like, man, I went to the chiropractor, he couldn't twist me because I'm in so much pain. I tried massage. After the massage, I felt worse. And then I start realizing it's not only spiritual, but it's also the way I'm fighting with my physical body. I start changing my mind. He who dwells in the secret place. I was telling you God speaking, right? The Lord speaking. But sometimes we're so busy, we don't hear. I'm busy throughout the day. Sometimes I don't have time to listen to the news with what's happening in Haiti. You know, when I listen to the news before I go to bed, Kendra, God bless her, she'd be like, honey, I don't think that's good. I'm like, shut up, women. This is all right. But I would have dreams. I would be like, it's not a big deal, but my mind wouldn't shut down. And I'm carrying everything that's happening over there. My people, our churches, my friends, my business, my house, and everything else. And then my back got locked up. And then I got the revelation. It's been a month. I turned my phone off. It's been a month I haven't listened to the news in Haiti. You see, sometimes we know what to do, and I wrote it down here. You see, what happened is some people knows what it's like to live below what the Christian walk could be, and yet they feel almost powerless to change anything. Let me repeat. Some people knows what it's like to live a life below the Christian walk, but they feel powerless to change anything. You see, now I knew I had to change some things. I had to repent. And you know one of the things I changed? I stopped listening to the news about Haiti. Or you're like, man, you're being careless or you're being heartless. It's not that. Right now, that news is killing me. I can't take it. I just can't. So therefore, you know what I've been doing? I turned my phone. I actually haven't slept with my phone in my room. Something she has been fighting with me forever to do. She's like, you know, it's not good to be sleeping with your phone by your head and all that stuff, all that studies she's bringing me. I'm like, shut up, women. This is not for me. Until the Holy Spirit is like opening up my eyes. I'm like, that phone is good, but it can be a devil as well. And right now that phone needs, and it's like, guys, the power, you see, in French they say, vouloir c'est pouvoir. When you want to, vouloir c'est pouvoir. When you want to do something, the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to do it. It is the Lord that works in your will. You see, when the Lord finds your wills, bing, ah, you can do it. The Lord finds your will. But you're like, man, I have decided I'm going to follow Jesus. I have decided whatever's blocking me to encounter Jesus, I'm going to throw it out, even if it's the TV. If it's the TV in your house, that's just bringing the spirit of Baal in your home. You'll find the power, the ability to be like, you know what, this TV is standing between me and encountering Jesus. You're going away. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. And I tell you, I'm like, okay, you're talking about repentance. I'm living in repentance. Well, I just repent from a bunch of things. And I'm like, I thought I was good. Oh, yeah. God's like, you're good. But my mercy renews every day. My glory gets better every day. You remember? We change from glory to glory. How does that happen? Because we encounter the depth of God's glory every day. Deeper, deeper, right? Stronger, stronger. And that's why you cannot, for example, attend church service and hope that my walk with God will infuse you with fresh energy. It's good to come together. But let me tell you, my walk with God won't infuse you to fresh energy. You have to be in a secret place. Because you're like, man, how come you staying in fire? I tell you, I just shut a bunch of voices in my life. I just realized that there are things I've been carrying that God is like, Ricardo, that's not me. That's not me. That's you. You're carrying this. I didn't tell you to do that. I mean, I could do so many things here. But I go to God, I was like, Lord, what do you want me to do? Is this, you know? And then when God says, Ricardo, I want you to do this, guess what, man? I'm going to be like a bullet. I'm not program-driven. Here we want Jesus. We come together to be refreshed. But our main goal is to encounter the King of Glory. You know, I have personally watched myself return what I call to source who are not the source. For example, after a long day, let's say you feel draining, you feel exhausted. And most of us, we think one of the best way to get revitalized or refreshed is in front of the TV. Now, don't get me wrong, guys. I'm not preaching against TV, television. I'm higher. I'm deeper than what maybe some of you might be going to. I do watch some movies sometimes with my wife to entertain ourselves. We go to the movies. I watch the world's most dangerous road to travel. That's my entertainment. I love that show. The world's most dangerous road to travel. I like that. You know? It's just the thriller is amazing to see how people live. But a lot of times we think, man, we had a bad week. We had a rough week. Let's go get refreshed. And then what do people do? They go to the bar. They go drink. They go home. They go, you know what? And then the enemy speaks this in your mind. Oh, you deserve this. Oh, you deserve happiness. You deserve, you know, and then if you're strong enough, you'll be, by the power of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, be able to tell the enemy, yeah, but then is this an act of the flesh? Or would this profit the flesh? Or would this profit the spirit? Can you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
He who dwells in the secret place must and will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I'm going to repeat this. A lot of Christians, they know what it's like to live below what a Christian walk should be. But yet they feel powerless to change anything. See, this morning, if the Lord's bringing things in your life, things that must change, I pray that you find the power by the Holy Spirit to change it. Because that's how you'll experience revival. I want us to be a church who is in revival. Because if you know, listen, I love ice cream, but ice cream for me is not good. It's not just ice cream make me fat, but ice cream is just not good for my physical health. Now, does that mean I would never have ice cream? No. But I will have some ice cream. But I know I love ice cream so much that is, now remember, that's Ricardo speaking. Ricardo's not telling you shouldn't eat ice cream. No. You should go after this service, go get yourself a cone of ice cream. If you really like ice cream. You know, because I know stuff like that can come across that the pastor is telling you not to. I'm telling you my life story. And I'm telling you how I'm encountering freedom, how the Lord is working with me. Now, if what I'm saying, the Lord is burning it in your heart and convincing you, well, then that's between you and Him. But my focus is this. I want us to dwell in the secret place. Because my passion for Jesus is fueled through the secret place. And I want that for you. I could be so passionate, but until you, and you go in the secret place by yourself, you'll never experience what I'm experiencing. And I want you to experience it. I want, you know, don't be like those patients. You know, you go to the doctors, and the doctors give you prescription, and you're like, you know what, I'm not taking this. None of us, we really believe the doctors. Because when the doctor says, you take this morning, noon, night, you're like, man, that's right, doc, that's right. Why? Because you know the doctor knows best. But our almighty doctor, He knows best. So when He prescribes something through His word, oh, I say, yes, Dr. Jesus. Yes, Lord. When the Holy Spirit convinced me of my sin, convinced me of things I'm doing wrong, I'm like, okay, Lord Jesus, Dr. Jesus, okay. Your will, not my will. Your way, not my way. I want to be humble. So, Father, I thank You for Your word this morning. So what is the Lord saying to you? And I'm going to give you what? I'm going to send you home, actually, on this. And I want you, just as you go home today, maybe go online, go on our website, listen to this again, and take notes, and listen to what the Lord is saying. I'm not done with this. This is going to be something that I will be talking for the next coming weeks. But what is the Lord is saying? He who dwells in the secret place will abide under the shadow of the Most High. And right now, I sense the Lord is calling us as a church, as a congregation, to be in the secret place. What does that secret place look to you? What is preventing you from getting into the secret place? What is it? What are some things that you know that you must do, but yet you feel powerless to do it, to do them? This is when the rest of the body of Christ come in play. This is why God established elders, leaders in the church. If there are areas in your life you need confess, you need prayer, please come find us. Come to Kendra, come to me, come to, you know, find Ange, find Aaron, find Betty and Felix. Let us pray. Find your cell leaders. Let us pray over each other, because the Bible says the prayer of the righteous man liberates, brings freedom. So Father, we thank you this morning, Holy Spirit. Lord, I receive your word. I know you're speaking to me. And this morning, what I do, I just opened up and share what you're showing me. And I believe that these, your precious seeds from your word is doing its thing, because your word says it never comes out and with no effect. So Lord, I thank you this morning for the seeds that are being planted in good soil. Father, I pray that you would forgive our sins, forgive our shortcomings. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. You know, I just sense I need to just pause right now and give some of you a couple minutes. Just you and the Lord. You know, we're gonna send you home, but I just sense, just stick. Maybe I want to do 5 minutes. I know it's 12 o'clock, but once again, remember, we're not time. It's not about the time. I won't be singing. I just want to give you a couple more minutes. If you need to come to the altar, not in a hurry. I believe every word spoken by the Lord deserves an answer. You know, sometimes we can't survive 1 hour in the secret place, but yet the Lord is calling you. Let's stand. Jesus, we love you. We thank you. You are so good with our hearts. You're so good with my heart, Lord. And you're so good with each one of our hearts here this morning. We will follow you, Lord. Father, I invite you, just lift up your hands for our country right now. Lord, as we enter a season of election, in the past month and a half, there's been voting, and tomorrow, today, and Tuesday, Lord, we lift our hands before you as Americans. Jesus, have mercy. Let your will be done. You're God in heaven. We don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't know it. But Lord, we fix our eyes on you. We pray for revival in America. We pray that our mind will be in tune with your mind, God. We pray that we would continue to stand for righteousness and justice. We ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that your kingdom would come. Oh, I hope you put in your hands together on behalf of this generation, on behalf of our government, Lord. You know, they say the government usually reflects the heart of the people. So, God, we ask that you would turn the heart of Americans back to you. You start with this church, God. We love you, Father. We trust you. Now I pray and decree that the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding will dwell in you. Remember, you are holy and blameless. Now you go and live a life in the victory of the blood. In Jesus' name. God bless you guys. Make it a great day. All right.